Good morning, Halifax. This is Operation Wake Up on CKDU 88.1 FM, a chilly Wednesday morning, October 28th. Out there this morning, it's my hands were freezing on the way over. I was riding my bike and don't have gloves yet, which I really need to fix. So my hands, I can hardly work the soundboard here this morning. I'm all like red and pink, even though I've been in here for 10 minutes. But it's -2 right now, partly cloudy, and today is going to be a mix of sun and cloud, wind becoming northeast at 20 kilometers an hour near noon, a high of 9, and the UV index is 3 or moderate. Tonight's cloudy, clearing after midnight, wind northeast at 30 kilometers an hour, gusting to 50 and a low of +2. And tomorrow is sunny with wind northeast 30 kilometers an hour, gusting to 50 and a high of 9. Friday looks sunny. The weekend maybe looks rainy, but warm. So, I don't know. I'm not really sure. We're heading into winter, which is unfortunate. But hopefully you like winter. I just find in Halifax the winters are really wet, and you can't really do any, like, fun winter things because it's so wet. There's not really snow. And that bugs me. But anyways. This morning on the show, I've got an interview with Sarah Wolf. And Sarah Wolf is a student council member at McGill University on the student union, and she also sits on McGill's Senate. And she was talking to me a little bit about a recent incident on the McGill campus where a lecture entitled Echoes of the Holocaust was shut down by a group of pro-choice activists. Some of you may remember that a similar lecture was in Halifax about 8 months ago, last March or April, and was also shut down by a group of activists. The presentation compares abortion to genocide and has been really controversial on campuses across the country, not just at St. Mary's University here in Halifax and at McGill. So Sarah's going to tell us a little bit about the controversy surrounding the group. The student union had actually censored the presentation before it went forward, but the university allowed it to go forward despite the student union's protest and the student council's formal voting on the matter. So pretty interesting stuff and pretty relevant to what's some of the stuff that's been happening here in Halifax, and that is continuing to sort of, there's continuing to be like murmurings of it around. So important stuff. But first, some music. So this is Crystal Method, and then I'll be back with the interview with Sarah Wolf.
We'll be right back. overwhelmingly student run.
Okay, so we are here with Sarah Wolf, who is a counselor on the McGill Student Union. She also sits on the University Senate, and she is a pro-choice advocate over at McGill University. And she's going to be talking to us about a recent incident on the McGill campus. On October 5th, activists at McGill shut down a presentation that was hosted by the student society Choose Life, entitled Echoes of the Holocaust. Some of you may remember a similar talk that took place in Halifax last year and was also protested. It was given by Jose Ruba of the Canadian Center for Bioethical Reform, and it compares abortion to genocide and the Holocaust. It's been called hate speech by many activists and has been controversial on campuses across the country, and it was censured by the McGill Student Union in the days before the talk. It was rumored to have been canceled, but the event went forward anyways, and it was met by protests by pro-choice advocates who blocked the projector and burst out into song during the presentation. Several of the protesters were escorted out by police, and the talk was eventually shut down. So to talk to us about all of this and the current situation at McGill University and maybe at universities across the country is Sarah Wolf. So thanks for talking with us, Sarah.
Well, thanks for inviting me to talk.
So when I actually first contacted you to do an interview, I didn't actually know that the talk had proceeded, because I had heard that the student union had censured it and that Choose Life had decided to cancel the talk. So I was actually pretty surprised when I then found out that no, the talk actually had happened. So how did that go about?
Well, to be honest, you were not the only one who was surprised at that turn of events. Unfortunately, a student union censure sometimes only means so much to a university, and a couple of factors weighed in. For one, the McGill Daily had an interview with Choose Life president Natalie Fole, in which she told them that the event was not going to go forward after the censure. This was about Friday. We have council sessions on Thursday. She had this interview with them on Friday. And then by about Sunday, we had found out that she and the rest of the club had decided to go forward with the event, which was held on a Tuesday. So it all happened in a very short span of time. In that time, the administration was addressed in an appeal for them to try and end the event. Given our overwhelming censure, it was a vote of 25, two against and two abstentions, so overwhelmingly student reps did not want this event to go forward. And unfortunately, though, it wasn't being held in our building. The event was going to be held in a building that is under McGill's jurisdiction, so in order to stop them from having the event, other than imposing a financial sanction, we had to go to the university in order to actually remove their ability to have the event. And unfortunately, they declined.
So what was the university's response?
The university has erred very much on the side of academic freedom. And they've admitted even that they don't know where to draw the line in terms of what's freedom of expression and what's hate speech. And, of course, many of us are saying this is hate speech. I still believe that. I believe what happened there was hate speech against women. I think it was hate speech against Jewish people. I think it was really just an absolutely horrible thing to have happen on our university campus. And for to have students say they don't want this event, and many, many, many students to say that they don't want this event to go forward on our campus, behind closed doors, whatever. As the university to err so far on the side of the rhetoric of academic freedom and freedom of expression is really disappointing.
So maybe, just in case any of our listeners are not familiar with Jose Ruba and the talk Echoes of the Holocaust, which is part of the Genocide Awareness Project, can you maybe just explain who these people are and why this is hate speech?
Sure. Well, the Center for Bioethical Reform is the organization that Jose Ruba is the founder of. He co-founded it with a woman called Stephanie Gray, and it's a sort of one-dimensional, single-issue organization whose sole goal is to take abortion off the table as an option for anyone permanently. In the past, they've spread a lot of misinformation about abortion and contraceptives, including, as some protesters noted, the widely discredited idea that both raise one's risk of breast cancer significantly. Of course, the idea that the birth control pill raises your chances of getting breast cancer is kind of absurd. And the general event that Jose Ruba came to discuss is this thing called Echoes of the Holocaust, in which he shows graphic images of genocide victims, particularly of the Jewish Holocaust, and then compares those atrocities to basically women, post-abortive women, and which, I mean, very implicitly draws a line calling post-abortive women Nazis for having perpetuated this crime as they see it. It uses disturbing and graphic images to try and scare women away from even considering abortion, and it draws a truly unfair and unacademic parallel and it ends up trivializing historic atrocities and demonizing women who have or are considering having an abortion. And so obviously this is detrimental to historically and systemically oppressed groups, and it's absurd. And unfortunately, the path that they follow with their student clubs would next lead them to the Genocide Awareness Project, which is simply a larger drawn analogy of the same unfair parallel.
So is this pretty in line, the fact that Choose Life invited Jose Ruba to McGill? Is this pretty in line with the group's other activities so far?
This is certainly a departure for them. In the past, one of the events that got people up in arms last year was an event that they had pretty much in the middle of campus outside, a sort of key intersection on campus, where they had posters of fetal development, and they had pictures of fetuses with sort of speech bubbles saying things like, "I can hear my mommy talk," at different stages of development, which is, of course, entirely manipulative. And I mean, fetuses don't talk. let's put it that way. But nonetheless, I mean, that was offensive to a number of people, certainly, and with good cause, I think. But this Jose Ruba and this event has absolutely been a clear departure for them.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the event itself and the disruption of it and the shutdown. Can you describe a little bit how that all unfolded?
Yeah, basically, the event was going forward with very short notice, and a number of protesters, initially about four or five, started immediately, as soon as Jose Ruba began to talk, asked him to leave. They stood up, and he said, "You know, I'll wait for questions until the end." Da 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 da. And their aim was to prevent him from spewing his hate speech, much like the strategy I think taken at St. Mary's, in which protesters simply yelled until the event at least had to move. They began by singing Old MacDonald Had a Farm, and basically carried on that way, eventually making their way up to the front of the room when he tried to display some of his images, and basically held court there for at least an hour or so before the police came. They were called almost immediately. At McGill Security tried to get people to leave. Probably only one song in, but of course they can't touch people. They can't remove people from any room. So the police had to be called from their point of view, and they were. And then it all sort of unraveled. The protesters were there for about a little over two hours. The event ended up going on a little bit toward the end. Probably he was able to talk for about 20, 30 minutes, but still had other protesters interjecting. I should say that once they were going about 20 minutes in, there were probably about 15 students up there protesting and singing. And eventually it ended with two students being arrested or forcibly removed from campus. I should say I was corrected at Senate for calling it an arrest. I haven't looked this up yet, but apparently there's a difference between being forcibly removed from campus, charged and fined, and being arrested. I don't really know. Maybe somebody can clarify this for me.
So were they charged and fined then?
Yeah, that's okay. What I've been told by the two protesters.
Okay. So what has the university's response looked like after all of this has gone down? Have they been, have they still been supporting Choose Life's position?
Absolutely. In fact, in Senate, and as you mentioned, I sit on McGill's Senate, which for people who might not be aware, is the any university's highest governing academic body on which usually a handful of students sit, along with administration, professors, et cetera, et cetera. Our principal, Heather Monroe Bloom, addressed in her remarks at the beginning of every Senate, she, on last Wednesday, about a week today, she mentioned that a dark cloud, as she said, had come over campus, and this was the protest and the arrest of students. Their stance has been so far in league with this rhetoric of academic freedom that they're going out of their way now, apparently, to solicit Choose Life to try and have the event again,
wow.
Which is, a sort of unbelievable move on their part.
Like, as far as I can tell, Jose Ruba is not making academic arguments here. It's a little bit funny that they're making arguments on academic freedom. But.
And that's a very good point. Maybe I should be bringing that up.
And what about the freedom of the protesters, their freedom of speech and their freedom to be on campus?
I, of course, brought that up when these strongly worded remarks came from our administration. Unfortunately, though, it seems that the rights to freedom of expression from protesters are not taken as seriously at McGill as a hateful speech given by someone who has absolutely nothing to do with the McGill community. I find it so disheartening that they're going out of their way to provide a space for it to aid this discussion of a smooth club that has been censured, has been financially sanctioned, and to be honest, will probably face more action taken against it in the future. And in order to make room for this person who has nothing to do with the McGill community, who is making a speech that so many people feel oppressed by, and they're ignoring McGill students who are protesting it, and who probably wouldn't have protested if the administration had respected the SSMU, the Student Society of McGill University, our council's decision. It really, truly all could have been avoided, and I guess that's another level of sort of fundamental respect or lack thereof for our autonomous decision-making.
Yeah, I actually think it's pretty remarkable that they have ignored the student union outright like that, because I mean, at other schools it seems to be, it's a handful of protesters, we can't listen to them, but a student union is in theory representative of the student body.
Of course. And the interesting thing is, on the one hand, they're holding us accountable for what the protesters did and sort of conflating us in with as the student union in with the protesters. On the other hand, they're saying and they're saying you're responsible for this, and yet they're not respecting our decision making abilities. And I would say it's disheartening, but it's certainly not surprising. And this is a predictable response from the administration, particularly the provost of and the deputy provost of student life and learning, Morton Mendelson, was the decision maker in that regard in terms of what events happen on campus. That's under his purview. And this wasn't a surprising decision from him. He's always erred quite closely on the side of academic freedom. Last year, there was a hosted Armenian genocide denier. So it was a pretty predictable move on his part, not that he doesn't always respect our student union's wishes, but that he would not in this case, because it aired, it was so closely linked to this concept of academic freedom, for which he has shown an undying support.
So what's next, I guess, in terms of next steps for, I guess, the student union or pro-choice advocates at resisting future similar events for dealing with Choose Life?
I can't speak specifically for the protesters, but I can say that for advocates, there's definitely a solid group of people, and I would include myself in that, who are actively engaged in trying to see that this club can't do any more harm. And for some people, that is wanting to see that their club status is revoked. I don't know how people are planning on going about that. But in terms of a SMU council decision, I can't really make any illusions as to what might happen at this point. But I can say that, like, there are going to be there are definitely some motions in the works from counselors, and again, I'll include myself in that to in order to not be making any remarks about anyone else and what they're doing. But I will be bringing forward a motion soon saying to do something about their club status. What exactly, it hasn't been entirely firmed up, but what the bottom line is, the initial censure and financial sanctions were a preliminary step. They were measures drawn up in order to prevent the event from going forward. What hasn't been dealt with yet is how Choose Life will be dealt with for going forward with it, and the chaos and liability that they've sort of that has ensued from the SMU perspective, and also the fact that our constitution mandates us to provide a space that is free of as anti-oppressive as possible. And this is certainly an oppressive event, and we've never had a club with which we've had so many problems. And so it's certainly a precedent-setting case, but at least in the small scale of our student union. But I guess it remains to be seen what actually will happen, what will come of it. But I think there's some general fatigue on our campus in terms of the event and talking about it. Even Choose Life itself has said, you know, this isn't what we didn't want to get into a debate about free speech. You know, this is about abortion, and that's fine. So they've felt, I think, that even their own message was sort of appropriated. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in the next few weeks, but also it's been sort of the buzzword and topic on our campus for quite some time now, and I wonder what will come of it due to sort of fatigue on the issue.
Well, it does seem that your media is behind, the student newspaper, the McGill Tribune, seems to be behind the student union's decision, from what I...
Well, we have two newspapers, the McGill Daily and the McGill Tribune, and they've both been actually quite supportive of the SMU and the actions that we've taken, which is really the interesting thing. It's not that there haven't been students who have written in and said, you know, I think they should be allowed to go forward, la 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 la. But the fact that SMU Council and the two student newspapers, and usually our opinions aren't you know, exactly, you know, all in line. The fact that we all have been are voicing a quite unanimous opinion on it, it really is quite telling about the situation and about the event and how people feel about it and what might go on from there.
Okay, well, thanks very much for speaking with us.
Not at all. Thank you.
Is there anything else you want to add?
Not that I can think of, but I think this is a one-stop shop at for Jose Ruba and for the Center, Canadian Center for Bioethical Reform. I don't know if they have relations with clubs that aren't called Choose Life on campus. I don't know how that works. But I do know that they have close connections with some clubs on campuses, and I would just encourage people on different campuses, if this person is coming to your campus, to really and as has happened in Halifax, as has happened here, to try and resist that. The university is simply not a place for that kind of hate speech, and it is hate speech. And for anyone to draw the line of academic freedom so far in that it encompasses that, I think is reprehensible. And I would just encourage any kind of activism or advocacy that tries to undermine what the CCBR is trying to put out there into the world, because it's bullshit, frankly.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks, Sarah. I certainly agree with you. So thanks so much for speaking with us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
That was an interview with Sarah Wolf of the McGill Student Union, talking a little bit about the McGill campus's recent controversy surrounding the Canadian Center for Bioethical Reform's presentation, Echoes of the Holocaust, on their campus. And there was a similar event that took place in Halifax last winter on the St. Mary's University campus. Activists did go there and protest and ended up having the presentation moved off of campus. And while it's too early to see, I guess, in the wake of McGill, what the backlash to the protests will be on campus, on the SMU campus, the backlash against the protesters was quite great, and a lot of it fell on the university's Women's Center. Despite the fact that the Women's Center didn't actually organize the protest, it was an external group. So I spoke with Holly Taylor, who is a board member at the St. Mary's University Women's Center, last spring, about some of the backlash that came from shutting down the event. So I thought that I would play at least a piece of that interview again this morning. So I'm going to play some music. This is Immaculate Machine. And then I will replay a little piece of that interview with Holly Taylor. So stay tuned.